Our scripture text this morning is taken from 1 Peter. In your pew Bibles, it's on page number 1892 is the text for this morning as we continue to follow a sermon series and a study on spiritual warfare. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, you also have a bulletin insert that has some notes and fill in the blanks for you to follow along and keep track of where we are. But before we get to that, I want to read for you from 1 Peter, First Epistle of Peter, chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. You know how it goes with last-minute instructions, parting words. Mothers to their kids give final reminders for manners checks as they go out the door towards school. Don't forget to say your thank you. Don't forget to wait for the safety or the crossing guard at busy intersections. Or to the boys, don't forget to zip up your fly. You know, those last-minute reminders that everybody needs. Mothers to teenagers, don't forget to wear your seatbelt. Or don't forget to call if you're going to be late. Or don't call me if you get arrested. I know we said that a number of times to our kids. Or mothers to adult children, all of the above, perhaps, pretty much the same. And especially, be careful driving. Call me when you get there. And when all else fails, the old adage, don't do anything I wouldn't do. Right? Don't do anything I wouldn't do. That's kind of wide open. It makes you wonder what it is that they wouldn't do. But here in this passage that I read for you from the Apostle Peter, we have some parting instructions, some final admonitions to be on your guard. Beware of the lion, Peter says in verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Like it or not, aware of it or not, there is a spiritual battle raging, a spiritual enemy to all who believe in Jesus Christ. We need regular reminders of all of our spiritual disciplines. We need regular admonitions to keep our guard up. We often talk about spiritual disciplines like prayer, Bible study, worship, fellowship, evangelism, but the area of spiritual discipline that we don't always talk about is the area of spiritual warfare. We need to study the methods and the strategies of our spiritual adversary if we are to keep our guard up. Just like sports teams, some better than others, and we won't name those that are doing better than others, but football teams, for example, always watch films and get scouting reports, consider the offensive and defensive game plans of their upcoming opponent. They need to study and be ready for their game. So Christian believers need to be in the know. We need to know what the strategies and plans for the person and plans of our enemy, the devil. We need to know his schemes or his playbook, his patterns, strategies, purposes, to beware of the lion. We need to know how to recognize the enemy. We need to recognize who the devil is. First of all, in this passage, it's clear that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. Perhaps some of you remember a book back in the 70s, if you're that old. Most of you aren't that old, but I remember reading when I was a freshman in college a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. How many remember that book? Anybody? Okay. He followed that up with Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. And it was a classic. All of us need to be aware and not be naive, too innocent and unaware of our enemy. As I was thinking about this, I remembered back when we were serving in Collingswood. I was the associate pastor there. We lived right next to the church in Collingswood, down in Camden County. And it just so happened that a woman from South America, from Ecuador, landed on our doorstep one Sunday morning. And she had fled Ecuador with her two children because her daughter had been kidnapped. She was able to recapture her daughter, but her young daughter, who was 5 years old, had been kidnapped by a drug cartel, and she fled the country. And she was very naive about America. Somehow she ended up in a bus station in Philadelphia, and somehow she got made her way over to the church here in Collingswood, and some of her stuff had been stolen, and she thought, that can't happen here in America. The missionaries had told her they don't steal things in America like they do in Ecuador because it's a Christian nation, right? Everybody knows that. Nobody knows that, right? She was naive. In fact, I remember going with her to get a permit in Camden, and she was appalled as she walked past some of the magazine and newspaper stands to see some of the child pornography. She was so naive to what was going on in America. So, children of God, don't be naive. Don't be surprised and unaware. Be alert, Peter says. Satan is a living personality, alive and well, a real person. Just like the holy angels, Michael and Gabriel, archangels, so Lucifer is a fallen archangel, and all of the demons are fallen angels. They're not just bad people who have died. They're fallen angels. Billy Graham said that back before the creation of man, before human history, Lucifer challenged God, rebelled and revolted, and was kicked out of heaven along with one-third of the angels fell with him. But there's good news. If one-third fell, that means they're outnumbered 2-1. Two-thirds are on God's side, are on our side. Praise God. The devil is not just some impersonal force for evil, not a collective social injustice, according to some liberal theologians that teach that. Don't believe in a personal devil. No, Jesus believed that he was talking to demonic personalities, to real persons, as he cast them out. Satan, or Lucifer, which literally means the angel of light, is a fallen angel. Not some dark side of a dualistic reality like the yin and the yang. You know, the yin-yang and the Eastern mystical symbolism, you know, that's totally balanced. No, God is infinite, eternal. Satan is created and not omnipotent. But he is real and alive and well. Don't be naive. Satan also is a master of disguise, cloaked in whatever suits him for his purposes. In Genesis, we see him as a serpent tempting Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Later on in the Bible, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he is the angel of light rather than the dark one. He masquerades in light. In the context of Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians 11, as he's writing against false teachers, and he says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached or that you received, if you receive a different spirit from the one you received or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then that his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. The devil is not some comic character dressed up in red pajamas with horns, red horns and a pitchfork, right? That's not a true picture of what we're really talking about. In verse 8, Peter says he's like a roaring lion. A lion, a symbol of royalty, king of the jungle, Jesus himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is it a coincidence that the devil would masquerade as a roaring lion? The same image as Christ in the Bible, the Lion of Judah? Not at all. Satan is always trying to pass himself off as deity, as God. He's always trying to usurp the throne of authority from God. Satan is the prince of this world and the great pretender. He is a master of disguise. He is also the arch enemy of Christian believers. To get at Christ, he goes after Christ's followers. In verse 8, Peter says, your enemy, your adversary, be well assured that the devil hates you. Be well assured that he will do anything in his power to destroy you to get at Jesus. Be alert, but don't be afraid. One of my favorite Bible verses and promises is that greater is he who is within me, within us, than he who is within the world. Greater is he who is within me than he who is within the world. Let's say that together. Greater is he who is within me than he who is within the world. What a tremendous promise. Lions in the savannah roar, intending to paralyze their prey with frozen fear. Lions roar as an act as they pounce on a gazelle or a sheep or something, actually to try and catch their prey by surprise, and therefore it takes less energy expended to chase. So it is with the enemy of our souls. His roar we can endure, as we sang. For lo, his doom is sure. That's what we sang. He is the archenemy of the Christian believer. He is the perpetual prowler in perpetual motion. Our enemy's full-time job is constantly looking for an advantage. But there is deep truth and great comfort to those who have Christ in their hearts, because the gaze of God is always on his children. The Lord watches over you and doesn't blink. The Lord doesn't doze or sleep, not even a wink. Think about it. God is watching over you. He is your great protector, the great shepherd of the sheep. His vigilant protection and provision is always and everywhere. Praise God. You know Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going now and forevermore. God's constant vigilance for our good. In his omnipresence and his omniscience, he knows and he is there and he is all powerful because of God, of Satan's constant vigilance for harm. But he is no match for Jesus. So recognize the devil. He is seeking and stalking. The devil is no respecter of persons, no partiality in his hunger to consume us. No one is too great or too small. Remember the Apostle Peter, the patriarch and pillar of the first century church. Remember Jesus' prediction to Peter before Christ was crucified in the context of his prophecy about Peter's denial three times. The same one who's writing these words in 1 Peter heard the words of Jesus in Luke 22 where he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But Peter replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. Do you think you're above temptation? Consider all the Christian leaders, even in our day, that have fallen. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Satan even went after Jesus there in the wilderness, tempting him in the wilderness. Don't think you can stand above him. But in God's awesome power and protection, we can be armed and not alarmed. Satan's goal is to destroy and devour the saints. His purpose is to bring chaos out of order. His purpose is to tear down where God has built things up. His purpose is to destroy God's good creation. But he doesn't always succeed. If he can't kill and destroy, he'll try and neutralize. If he can't blow you away, he'll try and bind you up. And if he can't bind you up with chains of spiritual bondage, he will try and bog you down. But as Jesus said to all the sheep, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that more abundantly. Stay awake. I love it when I get to say that in the middle of a sermon. Stay awake and alert. On guard. Recognize your enemy. And it goes beyond recognition. We need to resist him. Once you recognize him and his strategy, resist him. Stand firm in faith. Resist him standing firm in your faith. Verse 9, you don't play with a hungry lion, right? If you're mature, you don't flirt with disaster. If you're wise, you don't flirt with temptation. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Wow, what a great promise. He will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Don't play with fire. You'll surely be burned. Don't play in the cage of a lion. Don't see how close you can get to him. Be armed, but not alarmed. As we'll talk in 2 weeks, we're going to look at the whole armor of God so that we may be armed with his protection, his truth, righteousness, readiness, faith, salvation, his word. But in conclusion, realize that spiritual warfare is not superstition. Here in this life, we tend to live on a natural plane, unaware of spiritual and supernatural realities like angels and fallen angels around. 2 Corinthians 10:7, Paul says, "You're looking on the surface of things here. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." It's awesome what the Bible promises, that believers have the authority and power of Jesus' name so that we have authority over the principalities and powers described in the scripture. Remember Jesus' words to the 72 that he sent out to witness? He said that the 72 returned with joy, saying to the Lord, "Even the demons submit to us in your name." And Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions," code words for demons and so forth, "and to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Amen. Take this seriously, but don't give the devil too much credit. Don't think, as some do, that there's a demon hiding behind every tree. No. Don't give the devil too much credit, but don't be overconfident. Don't be overwhelmed, but not overconfident. Remember, greater is he who is within you than he who is within the world. One more time. Greater is he who is within you than he who is within the world. Take that home and just meditate on that. Learn to discern the difference between superstition and true spirituality, between stories and spiritual realities. Have nothing to do with occult things. Don't get too close. Don't play in the lion's cage. Don't mess with Ouija boards, seances, psychics, mediums, tarot cards, Reiki practices. These weeks coming up toward Halloween, it's fun to dress up. I love to give out candy on Halloween. When we were in Elmer, we had between 400 and 500 kids come to our doorstep. I love to see them dressed up. However, don't dress your kids up or dress yourself up as witches, vampires, ghosts, ghouls, goblins, zombies. Don't put on devil horns, because there is a reality behind all that that is frightening. Don't be spiritually naive. Be self-controlled and alert, armed, not alarmed. Stand firm in your faith. Let me read for you as we close two verses of the first hymn we sang, Martin Luther's "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." As he started the Protestant Reformation and got things rolling, he knew the antagonism of the adversary. And he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood, our all of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. One word from Jesus, and we find victory for our souls. Praise God for his great strength within us. All we need to do is cry out like the little children. Our helper he, greater is he who's within me than he who is within the world. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that the battle belongs to you, that you have fought and won the greatest battle, and we thank you that we can be more than overcomers through you who love us. Help us, Lord, to be awake and aware, not alarmed, but armed by your whole armor. Cover us and cover this congregation. Put your holy angels around your church family here, that we might know that we are protected by your awesome power, and that we have authority to stand in Jesus' name and to take our stand. Help us, Lord. Help us, we call out to you. In Jesus' name, amen.